The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we're going to talk a little baseball today and a little football and a little stuff. Let's do it. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, R-E-A-L, at John Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday when everyone's usually in a bad mood. I don't really care. We're going to have fun today. It's happening, Hoffman.
You're going to force it, huh?
Yeah, I'm not going to force it. I'm in a good mood.
Okay.
Ready to rock and roll.
Okay.
It's been out in that weather.
It's not bad.
It's cooled off. It feels like, I mean, it's cool for Houston, let's be honest.
I keep hearing there's a cold front coming through is what I've heard multiple times. I don't know if that's real.
Well.
But I've heard
that. It's never really a cold front here. It's just a cool things down front.
Right.
I'm okay with that. As long as it's not that just infernal humidity that we keep getting stuck with. What's happening today?
Sports stuff, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah. What's happening with you?
The same. Finally got my TV fixed, so last night I was able to watch multiple sports.
Look at you. Must have been nice being a rich.
I'm not
with
a rich.
A working television.
Yeah, exactly. I flipped around, watched the baseball, watched the football game, watched my beloved Toronto Maple Leafs win.
Good for you.
Thanks to Austin Matthews.
I was strictly football and baseball last night, but I thought maybe there was a time where the Yankees Indians game was going to have a higher total than the Bears Vikings game.
Yeah, it was 3-2 at halftime.
That was a tough watch for a little while.
Hey, then Case Keenum saved the day.
Yeah, I was actually hoping the Bears would win for the purposes of our survival league pool, and so we'd lose four more teams,
right?
Or six more teams, I guess it would have been. That would have been nice, but they're still the Bears, and Mitch Trubisky does what a proper Bears quarterback would do, and he throws an interception when they've got a chance to go down and make something happen and lose the game.
It's very Bear-like of him.
Very Bear-like.
Although I have to say, that two-point conversion play was as badass.
That was pretty slick.
Yeah, that was as badass
I've seen. That was pretty slick.
I always bitch about how NFL teams aren't that creative on offense. That was cool.
Was good.
That was as good as I've seen in a while. I am getting a little worried, though. I think I'm becoming a hermit.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how I like to go out and do stuff and meet people and hang out and things like that?
I think it's foolish, but you like to do it.
Well, I'm really getting to where I don't want to do anything anymore except just stay home and watch sports at home.
Well, I mean, why would you want to do anything else?
Well, it's like I kind of have a free pass to do whatever the hell I want right now, and I'm just going home and watching sports and drinking really good whiskey.
That's the way to go.
And
I'm
chilling out.
You.
Smoking the occasional joint.
That's the way to go.
And I've had about five people last couple. Hey, man, let's go do something. Yeah, man, I'm just going to hang here. What's wrong with me? Am I getting old?
No. I'm starting to rub off on you.
I think I'm just getting to where I don't trust people anymore.
Ooh.
I don't like people.
Like who? Who do you
not
trust?
In general. I'm just, I think, I don't know what it is. I'm just kind of the older I get, the more I just want to stay away from people.
No, I don't blame you one bit. That's the way I've always been. I prefer it that way too. But that is unlike you. Maybe you've got allergies or something.
I don't know. Or maybe I'm just about to die. I'm kind of
pulling
back. Yeah.
I mean, you're elderly.
I am. I'm getting up there.
My wife gave me, how many t-shirts do you think you own?
Well, do you count like the Tech running shirts that I got from 5Ks and 10Ks and stuff? Because they're technically t-shirts.
I mean, what do you wear them for?
To work out in, or I just wear them around the house.
Okay. Yeah, that counts then.
Probably about 25.
God, what about you, Jung? How many t-shirts do you think you own?
I own a lot. Why?
I had to go through my wife asked me to count the number of t-shirts I had today. And
because that's all you wear, right?
It's mostly what I wear.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, I've probably got 60, 70 t-shirts. I had 115 t-shirts in my closet. And now,
it's a little high.
That is high.
Now, to be fair, I had close to that, but after the storm, I gave away a whole bunch.
Okay.
Because that first night, especially when the homeless were in George R., and they desperately needed clothes, I took like 5 bags of clothes down there.
Wow.
Including some things that now I said, damn, I wish I hadn't given that away.
Yeah, so I took about 40 t-shirts and threw them in one of those big donation bins. And a couple pairs of shoes and a couple hats. And I mean, my closet was just loaded with t-shirts. And I've got a really big closet.
Yeah, I do too. Well, we have a deal now because I have a bunch of hats. I don't know how many hats you have, but
probably 20 to 25-ish.
Okay, I probably got maybe more than that. I've got a bag in the closet of some like collector's hats.
Yeah.
Like from when I went to the Derby one year and things like that I don't ever wear. But then I have a whole rack on the closet.
Yep.
Of about probably 20, 25. And I mix them up. It's like you do. It's like if I'm wearing a black shirt, I like to have a black hat. Or if I'm wearing a red shirt, a red hat or something.
You're very
like that.
Fashion forward.
Well, for hats. I mean, let's be honest. But my wife has basically insisted that anytime I bring home a new hat.
You got to get rid of one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried to self-impose that rule.
I used to be that way with hoodies. Now I only have like 4.
Okay.
But there was a time I had about 20 hoodies.
Yeah, felt good about cutting back today, but then I was like, God, I didn't realize I had so many t-shirts. And I got to admit, 115 is a little bit out of control.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
So now I'm at about 75.
Okay, that's a fair number. You wear them a lot, though.
That's like you said, that's mostly what my wardrobe consists of. Now, that begs the bigger question. I'm a man in my mid-30s. Should 80% of my wardrobe be t-shirts?
I think it goes back to your job and what you can wear and what you also use them to work out in, I assume.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if 80% of your life is this job, working out, or being around the house where you're wearing a t-shirt.
Right. If I was a lawyer, I wouldn't need 70 t-shirts.
But how often do you dress up these days? Maybe, you know, you did for the party last week or every now and then when you got to come in here for a meeting or something.
And I've got clothes when that needs to happen.
What is that, once a month maybe?
Right.
No, that's no problem. I think you're perfectly fine.
If I had a closet full of suits, that would be weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a, I'm not a scientist.
In my old days when I had to dress up every day, I had probably 15 suits in there.
Right.
And I just had t-shirts for working out in.
Yes.
And a dress shirts. I probably had 100 ties.
And let's face it, when I met you, you didn't really work out, so those t-shirts were just getting wasted.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're not getting wasted now. I'm at least getting to do that.
Yeah, so I got rid of 40 t-shirts today. One day, 40 shirts.
Take them down to Goodwill?
I just found one of those big bins that says we accept shoes and clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And dumped them all in there. I don't know where it goes. I mean,
there's a Goodwill down off Montrose. About once a month, I'll take a bag of stuff because I'm buying a lot more new stuff because I'm not as fat now.
Right.
So I'm kind of transitioning, but yeah.
It's
not
buying like lady clothes.
No.
Now?
No. Oh. Well, I have some of those too, but that's just for special occasions.
Gotcha.
Yeah. 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 But sometimes I like to dress up in front of the mirror. And,
right.
713-780.
I'd bleep me.
Is she a great big fat person?
That's right.
I think I did see something about that. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, don't you hurt my dog, bitch.
Don't you make me hurt your dog. God. Silence of the Lambs in the first segment. Great.
What a great movie.
It is.
Great movie.
Although I don't like the chick in it with the fake accent. But
Jodie Foster?
Yeah, Jodie Foster. I've never been a fan of hers.
That's all right.
I preferred the version. Well, I preferred both Manhunter and Hannibal.
Really?
Yeah. But I thought Silence of the Lambs was a better movie. Just the acting was better with William Peterson in the first one and then Ed Norton in the second one.
Yeah.
I thought the main character was a better character than her. Is that fair?
What's that? What's the chick that plays in the Hannibal? What's her name?
Not Hannibal. It's Red Dragon's one I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Not Hannibal. I like Red Dragon better. Red Dragon and okay. Manhunter, which is the same thing. Red Dragon's a remake of Manhunter.
Right.
Yeah.
Red Dragon's the one where that guy with the cleft palate and he's all hulked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good movie. But I just, and
the acting's better because you got Ed Norton and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
And Ralph Fiennes. That's a pretty good group.
That's true. But the story of Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, that's a better story.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I didn't like was her. I thought the villain was better.
I like, and I'm not a Jodie Foster fan, but I didn't like when they made the switch and tried to give us a new Clarice Starling in Hannibal.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore is the chick that I'm thinking of. And I don't like Julianne Moore either. I don't like her any more than I like Jodie Foster. So I thought it was a bad move.
But the movie did overcome her. There's no question.
It did.
And Anthony Hopkins was just amazing in that.
Because he's great.
All right, well, we've had Silence of the Lambs talk. We'll have baseball talk. Buster Olney's going to join us. And that ought to be fun.
When's that going to be? What time is that, John?
Next.
Next segment. Oh, I guess we better shut up and get on to a break then. But, yeah, I want to talk to him about the – because, really, the Astros' chances of going to the World Series, I think, hinge significantly on tomorrow night's baseball game.
I agree. I think their odds are better if they play the Yankees. There's no question.
I think it goes from, like – I think the Astros are, like, a 40% to win to a 60% to win. The AL, if they play the Yankees versus the Indians.
I have those numbers a little higher. I think they go from like 45 to 65.
Okay.
Yeah. I really believe that they would beat the Yankees in five games.
I can't believe you think they're 45-55 with the Indians.
I think with now that they've got two stud pitchers at the top, that closes that gap. If Encarnacion's not there, that closes the gap even more. These teams were only one game apart in the standings.
That's
as
true.
Hot as the Indians were, historically hot. And I mean, I think these teams are pretty close.
All right. And well, Francona's saying Encarnacion could play in Game 5. So, I mean, I guess that's to be determined. It ended up not being something broken. It was just a sprained ankle.
God, I don't know how he didn't break it.
It did look pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he's a maybe for that game.
All right, very quick break. We come back, talk a little baseball with Buster Olney. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, football season is here. You've got your boys coming over to barbecue and watch the game, and you've got a dirty floor, and it's embarrassing, and you should be ashamed of yourself. It's a great time to get your carpets, your top floors cleaned by Dirt-Free Carpet Cleaning. Get the fall special for a limited time only. Dirt-Free will come out, and they'll do one room free and give you a $100 free speed dry with any purchase over $120. The free room can be carpet, it can be tile, it doesn't matter. The other guys are leaving behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. Not the case with Dirt-Free. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go toxic chemical free with Dirt-Free. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery floors, your air ducts, and they'll clean one room free with any purchase. If you call them right now, 281-DIRT-FREE, tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt-Free Carpet.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And we'll get back to your calls and thoughts in a moment. But right now, we've got one of the best in the business about to join us. Talk a little baseball playoffs. ESPN Radio, of course, carrying all the games. Buster Olney, ESPN columnist and baseball insider, joins us. Buster, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Fired up for Game 5 tomorrow between the Indians and Yankees. That very interesting series.
Well, obviously, we here in Houston, we've got our rooting interests in order, but I wanted to talk to you about that series. And I tend to think that the Astros go from a 60% chance of winning the AL to a 40% chance of winning the AL based on what happens in tomorrow night's game. What do you think of that?
Boy, it depends on how, and I'm assuming you're saying if the Yankees win, that the Astro chances probably go up, and
I
if the Indians
that.
Win because they've been great. I would respectfully disagree with you based on what we've seen here in the last week. You know, we've spent, and I've been covering this series, we've spent so much time talking about Joe Girardi, the Yankees manager, decision he made, will he be back, won't he be back, and we haven't been talking enough about the impact of Edwin Encarnacion's injury on the Indians. You know, he badly sprained his ankle in the game on Friday. He's walking around the clubhouse with crutches and a walking boot. And, guys, their offense is not even close to what it was. And I think you're seeing, you know, Jose Ramirez, American League MVP candidate, put a lot of pressure on himself. They're just not the same team. Andrew Miller has pitched in the series. He does not look anything close to what he was last year during the postseason with a knee issue. I actually think that if you're an Astros fan and you're looking for a smoother path to the postseason, I think you'd be rooting for an Indians win tomorrow night.
Buster, we've seen some really good pitchers get lit up in all these series, and we've also seen guys going to the bullpen a lot sooner. What do you think about managers making that decision? And also, why are we seeing guys like Chris Sale get lit up early and some of the guys who are just so good, especially down the stretch, like Corey Kluber?
Yeah, I think it's sort of a case-by-case basis. Like in Sale, we saw at the end of the regular season that he just looked tired. You know, Red Sox, you know, rode him really hard in the first 4 months. He was a, you know, front runner to win the Cy Young Award, and then his stuff flattened out toward the end of the year. I do think that, generally speaking, the reason why you're seeing managers go to their bullpen sooner is because through the increased use of statistical analysis in baseball, the arguments are being made behind the scenes going into these games. Look, if you get an opportunity in a big spot, go to your best pitcher. You know, I'm sure that was the conversation for A.J. Hinch yesterday with Justin Verlander. If we have a chance to close this series out in Boston, go to Justin Verlander because he's our best guy. And we have Dallas Keuchel lined up potentially to pitch a Game 5 on full rest. That sort of thinking, that sort of philosophy would have been out the door, you know, 10, 15 years ago, but I think more and more teams are embracing it.
Buster Olney, our guest, ESPN columnist and baseball insider. And I want to ask you about your opinion of the Astros because they've been so good all year putting up runs. How big was the Verlander acquisition? Because that they were struggling at starting pitching for most of the second half of the season.
I don't think there's any chance that the Astros would have made the World Series if they had not made that trade. And not only because of the impact that Justin's had on the field, but I also think because of the impact that not making a deal before July 31st was having on the clubhouse. They were, as Dallas Keuchel put voice to it, Josh Reddick put voice to it, there was so much unhappiness within that organization and a feeling of lack of support from the front office when that deal wasn't made. And so you give credit to Jim Crane for creating the impetus to push this across the finish line, for Jeff Luhnow for getting the right pieces to get the deal done. I can tell you this, the Tigers thought with a couple hours to go before the trade deadline that they were going to keep Verlander, but the Astros stepped up. They made the trade not only to transform the staff, but I just think it gave the whole team a different vibe. And, I mean, that's one big thing, and, of course, I think the other thing, too, is how Correa's come back since he recovered from thumb surgery.
What do you think with Corey Kluber starting tomorrow, and I'm assuming it's Sonny Gray, I don't know if it's been made official, but that would be my guess for the Yankees, and the fact that Corey Kluber pitched poorly in Game 2 of this series, do you think that actually bodes well for the Indians going into this last game because Kluber's been so consistent and hasn't had two bad outings in a row this season?
Yeah, and I chuckle because he's a silent, he's sort of one of these guys, his expression never changes when he's on the mound, and there's a theory among some of the scouts who are following the series is that one of his ankles is hurt, and he's pitching with that, and so one of the reporters asked him after the game last night, and I was standing there, Corey, are you hurt? And it's like his whole face never moved except for his mouth. No, I'm fine. He sounded like Schwarzenegger in Terminator. As long as he's physically sound, you think there's a pretty good chance he's going to bounce back. He always talks about how he likes to go on regular rest. He didn't have that going into the last start. He had extra days. On this one, he's got regular rest. Just as an aside, CC Sabathia is going to pitch for the Yankees in that game five, in part because Edwin Encarnacion is not in the lineup. The Yankees decided without that big right-handed masher, in all likelihood, not in the lineup, they're going to go with a lefty instead of Sonny Gray.
So do you think that Terry Francona saying that Encarnacion might play, that's sort of just posturing to try and work a pitching matchup that they want?
Yeah, and you know, before, I've been doing stuff on radio for this series, and we ask him about his availability, and I get the sense that there's a wishful thinking within the Indians clubhouse that, hey, you know what? Hey, we'll get him going. After last night's game, Francisco Lindor, you know, the great Indian shortstop, saying, you know what? We'll have Edwin Encarnacion back for game five. It that's not going to happen unless he makes a miraculous recovery, because you just see him move around the clubhouse. I mean, the idea of him playing in a baseball game last night, based on what I saw, just seems absolutely foreign.
The Nationals-Cubs series, which I thought before the playoffs started was the most interesting series on paper, has actually been pretty good. But do you think the Nationals losing a game like they lost yesterday, where the Cubs had four errors and really couldn't hit the ball to save their lives and they still won the game, do you think that might take some wind out of the Nationals' sails, them losing that game three that they really should have won?
Yeah, I think that the two teams coming into this postseason with the most pressure on their backs, the Dodgers and the Nationals, because of what they haven't accomplished. Dodgers haven't won the World Series since '88. The Nationals haven't made it past the division series in recent seasons. And on the other hand, the Cubs went into the series basically pressure-free. Hey, we got our rings last year. No big deal. And they played better down the stretch. And the Nationals have had two starts, and with Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer, took no hitters into the middle innings, and yet the Nationals lost both games. I think that only adds the pressure on these guys. And I, you know, Jessica Mendoza is doing that series on radio for us, and I talked to her this morning, and she was saying to me, boy, it just feels different. It just feels like the Nationals are pressing so badly. And in fact, in preparation for the scheduled game today, Dusty Baker completely shook up his lineup, went back to the way he had it at the beginning of the year when they were scoring more runs, and I think that reflects some real concern about how they're doing.
The story you had yesterday about Joe Girardi, you don't think that Joe Girardi is going to return as the Yankees manager. Is that a surprise to you, given you know, this team that he's got right now is sort of ahead of schedule, I would think, you know, considering what they had in the starting rotation to begin the year? I think they've got to be pleased with what they've done. Is it a surprise to you that seems to be the case, that he won't be back?
Well, and just to be clear, too, this is just speculation on my part at this point. I would say, you know, I've known Joe for 20 years. I covered him as a player. And if I were friends with Joe, if I were close friends with Joe, my first question to him would be, or do you really enjoy this job that much anymore? Why are you doing this? Being the manager of the Yankees, being the manager of the Boston Red Sox, it feels like that's a job that has a shorter expiration date than it does in other places. And he just, you could see it all through that process over the weekend after he had that controversial decision in Game 2, the criticism he got in New York, how he was booed before during the introductions in Game 3, he just doesn't look like he is enjoying himself that much. And the one thing we haven't heard from Joe all year, when I've asked him about his job, other people have asked him about his job with his contract set to expire, is, yeah, I really want to come back next year. He's talked about, I need to talk to my family, make a decision that's best for my family. Again, if I were a friend, I tell him, you know what, go take a year off, go sit on a beach, go read some books, go work in television, and then a year from now, he could come back and basically manage just about anywhere he wanted to because of the stature that he's built up. It feels like it's just gotten to the point where it's just not that enjoyable for him.
All right, that is Buster Olney from ESPN. You could see ESPN has the coverage of the baseball this week. Appreciate the time on radio and television, might I add. And you can hear that on 94.1 here in Houston. Buster, appreciate it, and enjoy these playoffs. They look to be a good one.
Oh, absolutely, and look forward to it. I'm going to be doing the American League coverage, so I'll be down in Houston next week.
Sounds great.
All right. Buster Olney.
And again, all the games here on either ESPN 97.5 or SportsMap 94.1. Is that correct, John?
Yeah, and the Cubs-Nationals game is in delay.
Okay.
Yeah. Due to what? Weather.
And then once that gets going, that we'll have that on 94.1.
Yeah, from everything I'm looking on Twitter, it looks like they might even delay it to tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
That's what was supposed to happen to your Astros yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was looking that way, right?
Yeah.
That was what I thought. I thought that was a crazy move for the Astros to bring in Verlander when it looked like they were about to shut down the game. I was like, oh, if they just use this dude for an inning and waste him, that'd be foolish. But everything the Astros gambled on worked out yesterday. All right, guys, got to tell you about Texas Star Grill Shop. If you haven't gone by to check them out, I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know what I can tell you to convince you that you need to stop in today and see the best prices on all the top brands: Traeger, Weber, Komodo Joe, Saber, Napoleon, Green Mountain. The Pits and Spits is the one that I went with. Don't make the big box mistake or assume that you're going to save money online. That is not always the case. See the grill experts at Texas Star Grill. They'll help you choose the grill that's right for you. They've got the Memphis Woodfire Grill that's got Wi-Fi control, temperature control from 180 degrees to 700 degrees, which means you can smoke a brisket on it one day and bake a pizza on it the next day, which I think is pretty awesome. And free assembly and delivery on everything. Don't forget about all the rubs, the spices, the sauces. They've got all that. Get yourself a grill that's going to last and save yourself some money during this fall grill sale. Stop by the Texas Star Grill Shop located Shepherd and 59 in Houston and right there on Luetta in Spring. It's TexasGrillShop.com. Texas Star Grill Shop. We have your grill.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. Quick plug for SportsMap, Houston.SportsMap.com. Got our weekly soccer roundup, which previews all the World Cup qualifying finals tonight. So if you're a soccer fan, you can jump on that. If you think soccer matters, today's your day. We've also got we'll also have a piece on Tillman Fertitta that Marcy from Culture Map is writing. It'll be on Culture Map, but it'll also be on Sports Map. And at some point in the next couple days, she had a 5-minute interview with him in private and was able to ask some questions about the NHL, which I'm going to write about. So
nice.
We'll have some different stuff. And of course, we'll preview the Astros. And we're discussing some ramped up coverage for the Astros here in the next round that would that hopefully people will enjoy. And if it's, I guess if it's something people would use, we'll do it. It's one of those kind of things. John, did you do your podcast today?
Yeah, we did. We taped it today.
And what were the topics?
We talked about Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones? It's off season.
Well, the guy that plays Sir Davos came out and he did an interview with Wired and revealed a couple of things. It's looking like season 8 won't come until 2019.
From I saw that Kit Harington wants to delay so everybody can go to his wedding. Which is
really?
Nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, let's delay filming.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me, bro?
But Liam Cunningham, the guy that plays Davos, he says the track record of, because they're about to start, they just started going over scripts on Sunday and Monday. They did the first three Sunday, the next three yesterday, the final three yesterday, and they're going to start filming on this coming up Sunday. And him talking about like the past schedules, he doesn't think that they're going to wrap up shooting until summer of 2018, and then you go into post, and when you're doing a lot of CGI and stuff, he doesn't think that they're going to release the episodes until the earliest next December, and the where he thinks we're probably going to get it like late winter 2019, like you know February March. My best guess is it's going to be in April. Because they got to do all that post for everything. So,
and where is the podcast?
You can go to iTunes, search Comicast, or go to podcastarena.com/Comicast. We also talked about a couple of trailers that hit on during the New York Comic Con. Justice League dropped another trailer, and then we got Star Wars, and then we also got another Thor Ragnarok trailer.
All right, check it out, guys. Let's take some phone calls. Travis lead it off today. What's up, Travis?
Trav.
Hey, sports to you, gentlemen.
Sports.
Hey, I was off yesterday, so I didn't get to hear your broadcast. I don't know if you talked about it or not. I apologize. But what do you think now it's time to maybe try to get a hold of the Giants and trade Ellington or Braxton Miller to try to stockpile some draft picks? And shoot, I mean, if Dontre Foreman's our future running back, maybe even find somebody that might give us a second round for Lamar Miller. I mean, we need some picks for next year. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think you're getting a second rounder for Lamar Miller, and I don't think you should trade him because, frankly, that position is the one that gets beat up the most. And yeah. Do you really want to just say, okay, it's going to be Dontre Foreman and then Alfred Blue?
You've
already lost.
I think Miller's still an important guy to have here.
Yeah, you drafted him for the long term. Now, if they'll give you something for Ellington, I think I would do that. But
I don't know.
They don't have a ton of depth at those positions. I mean, they really don't, and... You know, I think, and we kind of touched on this yesterday.
Remember, Ellington was on the trash pile at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but I'd get a seventh for him. But maybe. Does that do you any good?
Does it do you any better than having him in case Fuller or Hopkins gets hurt? I think you're better off having him.
I think if you're going to trade someone, I think Dwayne Brown's the guy you wind up trading.
And by the way, if you're the Giants, I mean, you're not
dead.
Making the playoffs.
Why are you
trying to, you know, throw out draft picks to save this season? It's not happening. They know that.
Wow.
I've heard Dwayne Brown to Seattle rumors.
Yeah.
I don't know why they haven't moved him yet. I could have told you weeks ago, Dwayne Brown's not playing here this year. So if you've got a chance to move him and get anything for him, just do it. Let that dude go get paid somewhere and get something back for him.
Steven,
it's a weird standoff.
Yeah. Steven, the weather guy, said, I'm not sure Cubs-Nats is happening today, and tweeted us the...
Ugh. All those renovations to Wrigley Field, they couldn't put a roof on that place. What a dump.
Well. All right. let's go to Ben. What's happening, Ben?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing sports.
Whatever that means. Listen, the thing is, I'm talking about Steve Sparks, the Astro radio guy. I sent a note to Fred earlier because I didn't know if I would be able to listen to you guys. You know, he seemed, for lack of a better word, drunk on the air the other day when he was interviewing the Astro players at the end. I'm fine with it, and I think everything's okay, and I'd bring him back. But if you were his agent or whatever, would you be worried about him in these times, how he kind of sounded on the air when he was interviewing the ball players? Like I said, I was fine with it.
I didn't hear it.
I didn't either.
I haven't. So I don't want to comment on that. But I mean, obviously, if he was drunk on the air, that would be a concern.
Well, now was it after the celebration in the locker room? Because I've seen that before, where some of the broadcasters get involved, especially if they work for the team.
Even then, I don't think that's very professional.
No, but it's happened before.
Well, yeah.
I can't comment on it because I didn't see it.
I didn't hear it. So I'd feel weird commenting on it. I hope that's not the case, though.
We're allowed to drink on air, but most people aren't.
Right.
So let's try Charles.
They have such a weird relationship, that Astros play-by-play team. Like, they randomly switch off who's doing color and who's doing play-by-play. I don't like that.
Yeah, I can't tell who's who. And
I don't know either.
I'm not a fan of them. Although now my choice is them or Berman, which...
Well, what are you going
to
do?
And I don't want to listen to the other team's announcers, so... Let's try Charles.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you, whatever that means.
Hey, what do y'all think of this Eli Manning to the Jags chatter? The Giants season is kind of in the toilet. They're 0-5, and you got Tom Coughlin over there with the Jags, and... they think that they're a quarterback away. What are the odds that y'all think that happens?
I mean, is it something that the Jags should be looking at? I would say yes, because I honestly think the Jags are really good, and I think that their quarterback is going to hold them back from being great.
Their offensive line would benefit from that quite a bit.
Well, he hasn't had an offensive line even remotely decent in years.
You know what else he hasn't had? A running game. Guess what he'd have there?
Yeah.
I think it would make a ton of sense, and frankly, I think that would make them the favorites in the AFC South.
The problem is, what would the Giants ask in return?
Not Blake Bortles.
What are you if they're asking for a first round pick or a second round pick? I mean, I don't know if you can do that. I mean, for basically what amounts to a year and a half of play, because that's what Eli's got left. So a first round pick, I would say there's zero chance.
That's what I'm asking for, though.
Well, I mean, okay. Then I would, if I'm the Jags, I say no. If you ask me for a second round pick, I would probably do that, knowing that I've got a year and a half of Eli. Maybe I've got the pieces in place to make something happen, and especially knowing that in the Giants' position, listen, that's the toughest city to tank in.
Yeah,
you know, they're not forgiving of that nonsense there. Like, and it's a tough city to tank in, and if you're supposed to tank and you don't, it's tough. It's just a tough city to manage a team in. So whatever the Giants do, they'll be heckled for. Giving up Eli Manning would not be an easy move for that franchise. But the reality is they're done for this season. And whether they think Davis Webb is the future, which I don't know. I can't imagine that's the case. Or
but they're
going to have a top five pick, and they're going to have their shot at a franchise quarterback this offseason, where this seems to be a pretty good draft to be looking for a quarterback, unlike the last couple. Maybe it does make sense.
Yeah, I still think that if you're the Jags and you think we're good enough, if we get this guy, you give up a first round pick.
That's tough. I mean, you've got,
but that's the going price. I mean, look what the Texans had to give up to get Watson. Look what all these guys gave up. Now those are young quarterbacks,
right?
But you're also talking about
guys under control for a long time.
That Tom Coughlin is very familiar with and knows what he can do. I would say I wouldn't be shocked if they did it, and I don't think I'd blame them if they did. If you think you're good enough with that guy to win now, I mean, that franchise has been down for so long. Do it. I mean, especially if you think you're good enough that you're picking near the end of the first round.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I think NFL teams overvalue picks significantly. To me, they're like cars. As soon as you drive them off the lot, their value goes down. And, you know, in that situation, I'll make that move.
I just can't imagine.
If you believe he's the right guy. Now, that may be a question. He may not be able to play anymore. I do think, though, if you give him a running game and an offensive line, he's better than Blake Bortles,
right,
significantly. So if you believe that, and you know you'd have this guy for a couple years, why not?
Yeah.
But that's just me. All right, guys. I wouldn't bet on it, but I'll tell you what I would bet on. Pretty much everything else. And if you're watching the games, time to start making money. And MyBookie is the industry-leading website that hooks you up for all your betting needs. And with their great odds, fast payouts, and decades of expertise, you can bet with confidence. Your team doesn't even have to win. They just need to cover the spread. So what are you waiting for? Lay down some cash and win big today. And, guys, it's not just football. You can bet hockey on there. They got a great race book, so if you want to bet horses. And where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Just check them out for yourself. In-game live betting, a mobile site that makes wagering on the go easier than ever. You could also check out their online casino if you'd rather just play a few hands of blackjacks or roll the dice and crap. You can do that. Craps. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. That's MyBookie.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. The journey to Jacksonville has begun. We're giving away a trip for two to Jacksonville, Florida. See Houston take on Jacksonville December 17th. Log on to ESPN975.com and find out the three ways to qualify for the grand prize drawing on November 24th. You could win a three-night stay at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel, downtown Jacksonville Riverfront. Go to the football game at Everbank Field and play a round of golf at the Hidden Hills Golf Club, courtesy of Florida's first coast of golf. Visit Florida and ESPN975. There you go. All right, let's get one more call on. Chris, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing sports. What's up?
What's up? So I had a question. Just wanted to get a comment from you guys on Mike Ditka's comments and, like, Stephen Ross and Jerry Jones. Just interested to hear what you guys have to say. Like, Jerry and Ross, Jerry kind of knelt down with his players. Now he's saying he's going to punish them. I'm just curious. It just sounds a little weird to me.
You got Ditka's. Okay, let's play Ditka's for people who haven't heard what Ditka had to say today, which I mean, I'll address after we hear it.
And for those who want social justice, and for those who look back at the lives of Muhammad Ali and Jesse Owens and John Carlos and Tommy Smith, your response would be?
I don't know what social injustices have been. Muhammad Ali rose to the top. Jesse Owens is one of the classiest individuals that ever lived. I mean, you can say, are you talking everything is based on color? I don't see it. I don't see it that way. I think that you have to be colorblind in this country. You got to look at a person for what he is and what he stands for and how he produces, not by the color of his skin. That has never had anything to do with anything. But all of a sudden, it's become a big deal now about oppression. There has been no oppression in the last 100 years that I know of. Now, maybe I'm not watching it as carefully as other people. I think the opportunity is there for everybody. Race, religion, creed, color, nationality. If you want to work, if you want to try, you want to put effort into yourself, I think you can accomplish anything. And we've watched that throughout our history of our country. People rise to the top, and they became very influential people in our country by doing the right things. I don't think burning the flag. I don't think protesting the country. It's not about the country. Right now, a lot of this is going on. They're protesting maybe an individual. That's wrong, too. Hey, you know, you got a ballot box. You got an election. That's where you protest. You elect the person you want to be in office. If you don't get that person in office, I think you respect the other one. That's all. Period. I don't think it can be anything else. That's only my opinion now.
Do you think that Mike Ditka, if you had to guess, does Mike Ditka believe in white privilege? What's your guess?
I would guess yes.
Oh, you think he does believe it? I think he doesn't believe it exists. He's one of those guys who's like, I don't know what white privilege is. I've never heard of such a thing.
There's been no oppression for 100 years. Are we kidding?
Okay. Well, that's an odd thing to say, given that in the last 100 years, blacks have there was a time when they weren't allowed to vote. There was a time when they weren't allowed to eat in the same restaurant.
Or use the same water fountain.
Jesse Owens was not allowed to go into the front door of a thing where he was being honored.
But
that's okay. Yeah.
Who's Rosa Parks?
Listen, Mike Ditka, he hasn't been paying attention to that stuff. He doesn't see color or race. He doesn't believe in that. No matter your skin color, if you really want to eat at a certain restaurant or stay in a certain hotel, you can.
Says the white man.
That there's been no oppression in the last 100 years is the most absurd thing ever. Jackie Robinson played his first game in 1946. I mean, that's 70-something
years. Can I do my Asian math? Is that 100 years?
That's inside the 100-year window. Yes. My dick is just, I hate to say, listen, the guy was a great player, was a great coach, but the guy's ignorant to things that are going on in this world. As far as Stephen Ross and Jerry Jones go, I've always said this, and I'll stand by it now. If you decide to protest and your boss is okay with it, then so be it. You know, I think you should be able to. If you want to protest on company time and your boss says don't do it, be prepared for the consequences. And Jerry Jones and Stephen Ross have made it clear that they don't want their guys to protest. I guess it is what it is. I'm not going to tell those guys how to run their business. They should be able to say what they want to say to their players and have their, you know, I've always thought it was silly that the Yankees players always had to shave. Yeah. Like, you can't have a beard if you play for the Yankees. There's just some things that is important to some bosses. And if this is important to these bosses, mostly I think it's important to these bosses because it's important to, you know, their buddy. But if that's important enough to them to say it, then here's the question, Fred. And Jerry Jones says, you know, my guys will be benched if they sit for the national anthem, if they take a knee. If Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant and Zeke Elliott come out and take a knee, you think Jerry Jones is sitting them?
Of course not.
No.
Of course not.
What he means is if you're a scrub and you take a knee, you won't play. But I'm telling you now, if Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott went out there arm-in-arm and Dez Bryant and Tyron Smith and these guys go out and take a knee during the national anthem, oh, you could bet they're playing in the game because Jerry knows what he needs. And whatever Jerry says, he cares about football more than he cares about this country. I promise you that. He cares about winning more than he cares about patriotism. That dude wants to win. And he can say what he wants. I don't know that, you know, gun to head, he would really make the moves he's saying he'd make. And I don't know if Stephen Ross would do the same thing. He has basically said it's incumbent on players to stand and salute the flag, which, okay. I don't know that you'd be saluting the flag. That would be a little bit weird, honestly. If you're in a football uniform, you don't need to salute anything. But Ross said that basically President Trump changed the whole paradigm on whether or not it's acceptable to stand. He basically said that Trump convinced people that it's a patriotism thing and not a protest thing. Like that you're actually protesting the country instead of protesting any other cause. Which, and if that's Ross's reason for saying that his players need to stand, then okay. But now, you remember that there was Dolphins players who stayed in the locker room, and if players want to stay in the locker, if that's their option, stay in the locker room or stand, then the players will have the option to stay in the locker room. And people will still talk about it, and it is what it is, but I've always thought, you know, if your boss tells you, you know, you feel free to protest, do what you want to do, then feel free to protest and do what you want to do. And if he says, hey, don't do this on my watch, and you do it anyway, well, prepare for the consequences if there are any. And I can't feel bad for you then. Do I think these guys should be allowed to kneel or stand or do whatever they want? Of course. But I don't own their teams.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to this conversation.
All right.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
We're supposed to go to break here, aren't we?
You didn't even have anything to add about Ditka?
Come on. Well, other than he's just he's a cranky old man, and we've gotten way too caught up in what people say. And the reality is, this how do you respond to what so-and-so said world that we have now?
Yeah.
Is stupid. It is really stupid. And I was going to be my hey man bleep that. But I think the real problem here is, well, we got to go to break.
That's the real problem. We'll talk about it on the other
side. I'll tell you what the problem is when we come back.
That's a radio tease. We're going to start the 5 o'clock hour with the real problem. That's coming up next. Listen, as the seasons change, you want to revitalize your outdoor living area with custom style and quality that you've come to expect from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Call the pros to help get you ready. They can renovate your faded pool deck, your grayed out patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay that gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's trowel hand carved, custom colored for your home, and it's twice as strong as concrete. Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty, and they can help you on residential and commercial projects. They can help you save money as well. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months, and their Best Picks report certified each of the last 5 years. This is the kind of business you want to work with. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay. Get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.